I'm glad this morning that I do know the love of God. And I know that God is really real. He's been real to me. And I appreciate him for all that he's done and all that he's doing. And I wish the world could see this and understand this. If they just knew how wonderful this is, they wouldn't continue the road they're taking. But they had run with everything they had within them to this. And I'm so glad that the Lord had mercy on me and he showed me the way. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to read in the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter number 12. A very familiar story. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Verse 20, he said, But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Today I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, on the thought, the folly of a fool. The folly of a fool. I ask you to pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to stand before your people. God, we ask for the touch of God. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that you would anoint us to preach your word, that you would anoint our ears to hear. And I pray that you would touch hearts this morning. I pray, God, that you would convict this morning, not only sinners, but saints alike.
Yes, Lord.
God, move this morning. Give us liberty in the altars, we pray. And we'll be careful, Lord, to praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. And the church says, Amen. But God said unto him, Thou fool. You know, the Bible tells us in one place that it's forbidden that we call anybody a fool. That's a serious thing to say about somebody. That word fool means to be without reason. It means to have want of mental sanity. It means to be crazy, insane. It means to lack the common sense perception of the reality of things not only natural, but spiritual. He said, Thou fool. I tell you, I don't know if you get the seriousness of that this morning, but for God to look at an individual and call them a fool. The word folly means a foolish action, practice, or idea. It also means a costly or foolish undertaking, an unwise investment, or expenditure. Now, in this text that I read to you this morning, the Bible tells us that there was this man that comes to Jesus, and he asked the Lord to speak to his brother that he would divide his inheritance with him. He was after something. He was wanting something. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "It's not for me to decide what you get or whether your brother should include you in the inheritance." And then he gives them a warning. He says, "Take heed." Now, these are not just idle words this morning when he says this. But when he says, "Take heed," what he's saying is, listen closely. Pay attention. Take heed. He said, "And beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." In other words, the world that we live in today, they are driven by a desire to have more. They are driven by a desire to obtain more and to reach for more. And they think the more you have, the happier you will be. They think, because they have possessions and they have things that they can feel and see and touch, that is what life is all about. But Jesus was saying that life does not consist because of the abundance of the things which a man possesses. That's not what life consisteth of. There are some natural things, yes, and there are even some natural things that we need and that we have got to have in order to live. But there's more to life than what we see. There's more to life than what we can lay our hands on and physically touch. There's more to life than things. That's what Jesus was saying. There's more to life than things. And I wish it would get into the hearts of all of our people, and not only sinners but even saints, that we not get caught up in trying to get so much that we forget the importance of those things that are eternal. That we get so wrapped up and so consumed by the temporal that we lose sight of the eternal. Are y'all going to help me preach here this morning? I believe the purpose of this parable is to give us a serious warning to beware of that terrible sin of covetousness. This deadly sin is the cause of much sorrow and trouble in many homes, not only in the past, but also in the present. They are driven. You look at the divorce rate in the world today, and even in our country today, Christian America, so-called Christian America, and over 50, maybe even 60% of every marriage fails in divorce. And a lot of times the reason why, if you study it out, you'll find out that the cause of a lot of problems in marriages is there's a pursuing of the temporal and there's a reaching for things that they can feel, see, and touch now. And it gets in the way of a marriage. Y'all know that's true. One of the number one problems of marriage that married people face is financial difficulties. We live in a society where women are in the workplace. And I believe what the Bible said. I believe the Bible teaches us that the woman is to be the keeper of the home. She don't have any business in a factory. She don't have any business at Walmart checking out groceries for somebody. She don't have any business in an office working as a secretary for some ungodly man that's got a heart full of lust. Oh yes, I believe what the Bible says, but we live in such a society that nowadays it takes because they feel like that living is having, that living is possessing, that the woman has to go to work. And if one of them loses their job, then they lose everything. They lose the house. They lose the car. They lose everything that they've accumulated. It's because we are living in a society that puts pushes, have more, get more, strive to obtain and have better and bigger and greater. Keep up with the Joneses. Oh, yes. But Jesus warns us and he tells us that covetousness is a deadly, deadly sin that will bring trouble and sorrow, and it will cause much problems. Oh, not only in this world and among sinners, but also among the saints of God. Oh, Lord, help me preach this here this morning. Paul told us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, that it is the love of money and not money. We misquote that many times. But that ain't what Paul said. He didn't say money is the root of all evil. But he said the love of it is. In other words, that pursuing, that reaching, that I've got to have it regardless what I've got to do. It doesn't matter who I have to step on. I'm going to get it. It doesn't matter who I have to hurt. I am going to have it. It doesn't matter how many times I have to lie. It doesn't matter how many people I have to defraud. I am going to get what I want to have. Oh, are you understanding me here this morning? Jesus was warning us of this terrible peril of covetousness. And he said, listen, you know what covetousness is? Of course, the Bible said, and Brother Tim read it this morning, that covetousness is idolatry. It's when we want things more than we want God. It's when we allow our pursuit of the temporal to move to the forefront and we leave God on the backside and we leave God the leftovers. And when it's convenient, we'll serve Him. When it's convenient, we'll live for Him. When it's convenient, we'll be faithful to Him. On my spare time, God, I'll pray. On my spare time, God, I'll read my Bible, but right now I'm too busy. Right now I've got some things I want and I've got to have, and after I get through, then I'll give you what's left over. Oh, God, help me preach this morning. The love of money is the root of all evil. In our text, Jesus tells us it's a parable, yes, but it's happened over and over and over again. How many names? I thought about that last night as I was reading this and studying this. How many names could we have put in that story? There was a man by the name of so-and-so. There was a lady by the name of so-and-so. People that I know, I could put their name right there. That's right. I said I could put their name right there. Yes, it was a parable, but it's happened over. It's an illustration, but it's an accurate illustration of what happens over and over many, many times among fallen man and among people. He said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have nowhere to bestow my goods. Oh, this man, it seems he was a successful farmer. It looks like, as the world has said, a self-made man, a self-made success. And yes, there was hard work, I'm sure, that he did. But it wasn't all the work that he did. But it was God blessing his work. It was God sending rain. It was God causing that to grow that he planted in the ground. And you know what? He forgot about that. That's one of the first mistakes that many make, not only in the world, but even in the church. Amen. This man put himself before God. He put his wants and his desires before his God. Do you understand me this morning? The ground of this man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, God's been good to me. He's been faithful to me. I think I'm going to give more to him. I think I'm going to be more. That ain't what it said. But it said he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. And there will I. Oh, yes. bestow my fruits and my goods. By reading this, you can see what this man was doing. He was putting himself before God. He did not say, I have what I have because God has smiled on me. I've got what I've got because God has been good to me. But he said, I, me, and I will. Six times he said, I. Five times he said, my. And four times he said, I will. Or will I? That's what it indicates to us, that he was putting himself before his God. He was elevating himself before the very God that had blessed his hands and honored him and give him all that he had. Do you realize you have what you have is because God is faithful and he meets the needs of his people. And it ain't about what I've done, and it ain't about what I can do, but it's about what the Lord has done for me. It's about God being good to me. Oh, the Bible tells us in Psalms 14 and 1, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. In the original text, it did not have the words, there is. It was in italics. The words, there is, was in italics. In the original Greek, it didn't say, there is. Now, it's still accurate, but the translators of the King James Bible put the words, there is, in there. To help us better understand what he was saying. But the text originally read this, and some of y'all are looking at me funny right now. But if you don't know I'm telling the truth, you look it up and you'll find out I'm telling what's right. All of those, you ever noticed all those words that are in italics were words that the translators put in there to help us better understand what the writer was saying. It reads exactly like this in the original. The fool had said in his heart, no God. No God. Now I'm just, and I feel like this is accurate. There was one man that said this, a well-studied man, that in this scripture, he is not referring to an actual atheist. He is not referring to someone that does not believe in the existence of God. But he said it's making reference to practical atheism, which is this, denying the moral government of God in a man's life. And I'm just, I believe it's part of that too. It is a man in his mind. Both cases, I do believe. But when you look at God and say, no God, when God deals with you, when God says you need to do better, you need to be more faithful, and you say, no God, you are denying God the rule and the authority over your life. The fool had said in his heart, no God, no God, not now. I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. Oh, I'm too tied up with my stuff to worry about anything else. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a dangerous thing. Oh, to put yourself before God. I hope I didn't lose y'all in all of that. The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. Oh yes, I believe. You know, that's where the majority of this nation is. I believe in God. Amen, brother. I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe there is an eternal being that is the creator of all that we see. Yes. But I'm not willing to serve him right now. Am I making sense this morning? Yes. No God for me. Yes. Maybe one day. But I'm a young man. I got a lot of things I want to do. I'm a young lady. I got a lot of places I want to go. And when I get through with my to-do list, then when life becomes boring, then I'll give my heart to God. No God for me right now. Oh, you are no better than that atheist that it denies the existence of God. You are no better than that man that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. To believe, in fact, it may be worse to know he's real and to believe he's real and have been taught these things, but then make up your mind, regardless what he has done for me, the price he paid, the death
that he suffered that I could live, regardless what he's done for me. No, God, right now I'm too busy. He'll get in the way of what I want to do. He'll get in the way of the way I want to live. Oh, you hear me preach this morning? Don't be a fool and say no to God, whether you are a sinner or a saint. Woo! Oh, y'all looking at me this morning. No, God. No, God. You need to pray. No, God, I'm too busy. I got to do something. If you're too busy to pray, you are too busy. And if you say no to God, I didn't say it, but God says it. You are a fool. Oh, we might. Boy. Oh, God, help me here this morning. I'm preaching on the folly of a fool. He put himself before God. He put his own will and desires in me, me, myself, and I. It's all about me. It's about, I don't care who else is hurting as long as I'm not hurting. I don't care who else gets stepped on as long as I can climb a little bit higher. It's all about me. Oh, the Bible said, oh, that this man, oh, he said, I'm not going to worry about God, but I'm going to keep on, and I'm going to keep on. I'm going to tell down and build bigger, and I'm going to get more, and I'm going to have more. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. You know what he was? He was self-willed. When he said, I will, what he was saying was not God's will, but my will, my desire. How many have said that? Oh, God deals. No, God, this is what I'm going to do. I will. This is what I want. He was a self-willed man. 2 Peter 2:10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Brother Tim talked about it this morning, and despise government. Oh, presumptuous are they. They are doing wrong, and they know they are, and they don't care. That's what presumption means. I know I ought to be doing better than what I'm doing, but I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I know I ought to be spending more time with God in prayer, but I just ain't got time right now. Presumptuous. I mean, knowing they're doing wrong and don't care that they are. Oh, I know I ought to be doing other things. I know I ought to be living for God. I know I ought not be dressing ungodly. I know that skirt's too tight. I know that. I knew it when I put it on. I felt something on the inside, and I knew it wasn't right. I know when I put that skirt on, and it had a split in it. At first it bothered me. I knew it, but I kept on doing it, and I'm going to keep on doing it. And I don't care who preaches it. I don't care who teaches about it. I don't care what they say. Oh yes, a self-willed man will not put himself under the authority of any kind of authority, whether it's human authority or divine authority. And he said they despise government. That's far beyond these militants that would love to overthrow this country. I believe that's part of it. But I believe it goes beyond any authority. Any of them. Who does Brother Tim Sargent think he is? Teaching to me that I can't do those things. Who does he think he is? You know what you are when the man of God teaches or preaches, or a saint of God like Sister Wanda stands up and testifies about living holy and pure, and you sit back there and you don't say nothing, but in your heart you're saying, I wish they would be quiet. They're always talking about what I can't do. Oh, I wish they would hush. You know what the problem is? You are self-willed. That word said, he said that. Presumptuous are they. They're doing wrong and they don't care, and they're self-willed. They are self-pleasing. Covetousness is idolatry. You know what covetousness is? When you worship yourself more than you worship God. When you please yourself more than you, when you are your own God. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, about all of the idol gods that we read about in the Bible. They have immoral lifestyles. Fornicate. You know what that is? It is a worship of man himself. I serve a God that don't put restrictions on me. I serve a God that says you can do what you want to and be all right. Idolatry is covetousness, and covetousness is when a man is so self-willed that he'll get what he wants to get regardless whatever he has to do because it's what he wants.
Boy, this might not be a Sunday morning message, but I'm preaching it anyway. He put himself before God. Self-willed. I know I ought not get on that internet and my fingers. No, your finger didn't slip and hit the wrong button. You deliberately done it. You deliberately typed out that word and then you said, log in. Are y'all with me this morning? I know I ought not to. Boy, I shouldn't do this. While you're typing it out, I shouldn't be going here. Are y'all with me this morning? Oh, self-willed is when you know you ought to be faithful to the house of God. But you make every excuse why you ought not have to come to church. Amen. You say, I can serve God at home. I can too. Oh, but Bible said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And he said, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you hearing this preacher preach this morning? Are you putting yourself before God? Are you desiring things that God says you ought not have? Are you hearing this preacher preach? Oh, amen. Made a tragic mistake of putting himself before his God. He was self-willed. Who do they think they are telling me what I ought to do? I'm nothing. In myself, Sister Wanda, I'm absolutely nothing. But I've got the Word of God here. And I'm telling you what God said. Do you fuss out the mailman? I know you've heard it before, but do you fuss out the mailman because he puts a light bill in your mailbox? He ain't got nothing to do with it. He's just delivering the mail. So you ain't got no right getting mad at the man of God. Oh, Brother Michael, or anybody else that stands up and shares with what God has laid on their heart, because they're just the messenger. They're just telling you what God said. And you know why they're doing it? Because they love you. Because they see where you're so blinded that you don't even realize what you're doing and where you're headed. But they see it. And in love, they're standing in the way. And they're saying, hey, don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't go there. Put that on. Trouble, 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 trouble. Amen. He put himself before God. Are you putting yourself before God this morning? Not only did he put himself before God, but he put his body before his soul. He was so consumed with, I've got so much, and I want more. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend more time for the here and now. I'm going to spend more time getting and storing and putting up. I'm going to tear down my bones, and I'm going to build bigger. Now, what he was saying was not bad within itself. Are you understanding me? It's probably good to be, what's the right word, a good steward, and to use common sense, and when it's time, when what you have is, your barns aren't big enough to hold what you have, it's all right to expand and get bigger. It, as long as you don't neglect your soul. Are you understanding me this morning? As long as you don't put your soul off. As long as you don't do it at the expense of your soul. Oh, this man was putting his body. I'm going to build bigger. I'm going to build greater. I'm going to fill them up. And then when
when I am through, oh, I'm going to take my ease. They said, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He didn't say, he might have started off saying, one day I'll get committed. But oh, he was so engulfed in life and things that he said, you know what? It's coming today. I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to live it. And ain't nothing wrong with retirement. Ain't nothing wrong with enjoying an easy life after you worked all those years. That's not what I'm saying. But this man put his body, he didn't say, I'm going to make sure I've got everything fixed between me and God. I'm going to make sure everything's all right. I'm going to make sure that I don't go to hell. That ain't what he said. He said, I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be merry. I'm going to keep on living it up. No regard. What did the Bible say? What is a man profit? Now, we preach that to the sinner, and yes, it is to the sinner too. But it's to the saint, because in that same setting of Scripture, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus is talking about taking up our cross and following him, is he not? Who's he talking to? If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever saveth his life shall lose it. Whosoever loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And I may be getting two sections crossed over, but there's a place where it mentions all of that in the same portion. And he said, for what is a man profit if he shall gain this whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What was he saying? Don't put your body before your soul. Don't you feed the flesh so much that the spirit man, that Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And Jesus said, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is not about feeding flesh, Satan. It's not about the here and now. But oh, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I've got to have more than natural bread. This man was so occupied with the natural bread that sustains the body that he neglected the spiritual bread that sustains the soul. That was a mistake, my friend. And there's a lot of people, even in our churches, they are putting their bodies before they are putting their soul. Body's going to go to the grave. It's going to decay. It's going to turn to dust. But his soul's going to live forever. That leads me to my next point here this morning. Not only did he put himself before God and his body before his soul, but he put time before eternity. I want you to think about that just a minute. He put time here now. There was a slogan that came out, I think maybe in the late 60s, maybe early 70s. I'm getting old, but I ain't that old. Born in 74, just turned 40. Praise the Lord. But I don't know when it was. Maybe some of you remember. It was a slogan that said, if it feels good, do it. Y'all remember when that came out? Some of you may not want to admit you're older than what you are, but when was that? Amen. If it feels good, do it. Don't matter what the consequences. Don't matter what it costs you. Don't matter what if it feels good, just do it.
Don't worry about all that stuff later.
We live in a world that is doing that very same thing. They are putting time before eternity. I hope I'm making sense here this morning. But God said unto him, he said, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this and then this and this. And man, I can see it now. I can see me sitting on a beach, retired, enjoying my old age. But God said unto him, he said, this is what I'm going to do. But God, it don't matter what you say. Are you here this morning? It don't matter what you say. I tell you what matters is what God says. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, you think, sir, you think, ma'am, that you're going to do that, you're going to go there, you're going to be that, but this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're fixing to leave this world, man. You ain't going to live another day. You'll never see the sunset or the sunrise again. You've seen her go down, but you'll never see her come up again. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You've worked for these things, and you know what? You're not going to even get to enjoy it. Your children are going to fight over it if he had children. And ain't that what they do most of the time? That's what they were doing. That man said, tell my brother, I want that. They were fighting. He said, you ain't even went to enjoy it. The very thing that you prized and loved is going to be the very thing that divides your home and family. I hope I'm not preaching too long, and I hope I'm preaching it with the love that I ought to preach it with. I'm preaching this morning on the folly of a fool. Preacher, are you calling me a fool? No, I'm not. Because God told me not to. But are you putting yourself before God? If you are, you know what you're doing? You are choosing to be a fool. Are you putting your body before your soul? If you are, you are making the choice. Sister Andrew testified about it. About Sister Holly teaching about choices. And them girls said, I'll probably be this way. Oh, the power of choice. Have you ever thought about that? The power of a choice. Oh, your choice could either doom and damn you to a life of misery and eternity in hell. Or your choice could give you life and liberty. Oh, the power of a choice. I'm not calling you a fool. But if that's what you are doing, you are making a choice to become one. Oh, are you understanding me this morning? Are you putting your body before your soul? And are you putting time before eternity? Are you so wrapped up in the here and now that you're not even worried about the fact that there's coming a day? And Brother Tim Sargent taught about it and read about this morning that the dead, small and great, is going to stand before God. Oh, Brother Kenny, and he said we're going to stand before him, and there's going to be books and other books and the book of life, and we're going to be judged out of those things that are written in that book. And whosoever's not found written in the book of life, the Bible said, would be cast into the lake of fire. What's he saying? Oh, you can be a fool if you want to and go to hell. But you know what? I made up my mind. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm not going to be lost. If God will help me, if God will touch me and give me the strength, Brother Don, I don't intend on putting myself before God. I don't intend on putting my body before my soul. And I don't intend in getting so wrapped up in here that I forget about the hereafter. For all flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth. Job said, man that is born of woman is of few. I know I'm not old. I'm just 40. But I don't feel 40. It seemed like just yesterday. I walked across that aisle, and they put that diploma in my hand. And I thought, man, I've got a whole life ahead of me. It's gone. I'm 40. I've got children that are old enough, if I would let them, to leave the house and move out. It's gone. Brother Powell said, man, who was you talking to? Man, wouldn't you like to be 40 again? Do you mind if I ask you how old you are? 68. How long did it take you to get from 40 to 68? Almost a blink of an eye. Whew, there you are. 68 years old. You young children don't understand that right now, but one day I promise you, you're going to understand it. Especially when you get children and then they start growing up. You're going to understand. I've been preaching 45 minutes. I mean, God. A man that is born a woman is a few days full of trouble. James said in 4:13-15, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Oh, when I graduate from high school, man, I got it figured out. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a good job. I'm going to buy me a house. I'm going to get me a wife. Or I'm going to get me a husband. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I've got it all planned out. How many had it all planned out and in an early grade? They were good. He said, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. That man had it planned, but he didn't realize he was fixing to meet God. And every one of us here, saved and sinner alike, we've got an appointment with death. And it would not surprise me. I hope not. I hope not, but it would not surprise me if somebody that is sitting here today wouldn't be here tonight. Because life is short. Oh, you'll understand what this preacher's preaching. He put time before eternity. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. It's gone. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord not my will, but the Lord will. And we shall live. I will do this or that. What's he saying? Don't put time before eternity. Don't let your decisions be made as a result of what you want time to do for you here. But let every decision you make be in light of eternity. Now, this decision that I'm fixing to make here, it may be beneficial now, but it might cost me in the long run. Right. I don't think I'll do it.
Right. Teach. Come on, brother.
I don't think I will, because I don't want to be lost. Can you imagine that night when death came to that man's house? You probably couldn't have heard it, but can I use my imagination? Can you imagine as death walked down the sidewalk of that man's house? Come to the gate that went into the yard of that man's house. And he opened that. Walked up the steps of that man's house. Could you imagine? This man knows I'm going to leave God tonight. He told me tonight is my last night. Can you imagine when death opened that front door, walked down the hall, up the stairs, took a right, opened the door of that man's bed. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. The folly of a fool. Just Holly, will you get us a song and play us a song? Get us a song to sing. I ask you to stand this morning. I know I was a little lengthy, but I had to give you my heart this morning. I wonder this morning, is there anybody here that would say, Brother Jamie, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to say no, God. There's some things that I need to get in my life in order. Some things that I need to prioritize in my whole life. Preacher, I'm putting myself before God. I'm putting my body before my soul. I'm putting time before eternity. And I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live the life of a fool anymore. I wonder, would you like to pray this morning? Everybody that can. Everybody that can. Church, let's gather. Let's pray. If there's anybody here that's not saved this morning, don't be a fool. Do not be a fool. Oh, don't make choices that are going to hurt you in eternity. Oh, you don't have to die the death of a fool. You don't have to be called by God Himself a fool. But you can be a wise man that builds his house on the rock, digs deep, and he lays that foundation on that solid rock. And when the flood comes and it beats vehemently upon that house, it can stand. It can stand. It can stand the test of time. Oh, don't be a fool this morning. Don't be a fool this morning. Don't be a fool this morning.
All far above all else. security more than success. If I must choose to own one thing, I'll take Jesus or the rest. For if I shouldn't end the goal to gain this world and all it holds, oh, but then if I should lose my soul, I lost it all. Oh,